Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner that has a product, service, or message that you truly believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look at real-world networking and marketing tactics while leveraging LinkedIn to get what you have in front of many more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's get started. So, Evan, welcome to today's episode. Super grateful and excited to have you here. This is one of those pinch me moments, so to speak. I've been following you and watching your YouTube channel for the last 10 years. And to now have you on the podcast, it is one of those big pinch me moments that I am just super grateful for. And even more grateful to have you here, not just with me, but with my audience today. So welcome to the show.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me. And I'm loving all those certificates, and there's so many things to look at behind you. Which of all the crazy things behind you, what are you most proud of? I know this is your show, but I'm curious. What are you most proud of, or what motivates you the most when you walk in and look at?
That's something that we got as a wedding gift. So that's my someone made a little plaque of when my wife and I officially got married 4 years ago. So that's one of my greatest accomplishments. Above it, she made me this. It's when I received my 500th written recommendation on LinkedIn. Okay. It was a goal of mine, you know, because I teach and train on LinkedIn, and she saw that and she went upstairs and made it for me and framed it and brought it down. So those are, the books and stuff are great, but you know, yeah. She's a big, you know, motivator for me. So I appreciate those, but I appreciate the question. So let's dive right in. There's so much that I want to ask you, but I always like starting with this question. So you have a very interesting background, you know, obviously at 19 becoming a COO of a tech company. We can kind of get into that in a little bit. But if you can rewind the tape and press stop at a particular moment in your professional career that you really feel was that pivotal or jumping off moment for you that kind of set you on the path that you're now currently on into the future, if you had to pick one, what was that moment for you?
Wow, what a start. You know, in general, I really suck in looking backwards. It's just not how I operate. I'm like 85% present and 15% future. So I really need to focus and think to go backwards, especially when you're talking about, you know, that long ago, because I don't remember what I ate for lunch today, let alone like 20 years ago or whatever. But I have a graph on my website that shows my year-over-year YouTube growth. And year one was like 25 subscribers or something. And by year five, it was still like 2,000 subscribers or something. And a lot of people ask me, like, why didn't you quit? Why didn't you stop? It's like at some point you realize you're in this for 5 years. You know, you're like, you have enough evidence to see that this is not working out. And after that, I started to, I don't know what takeoff looks like, but we started to get a little more traction, momentum than we had before. And so two things happened in that year. The first is I ended up marrying my wife. And so I feel the Mr. and Mrs. angle. She's had a huge impact on my life and my business. And now she's involved in my business, but back then she wasn't. She had a full-time job. But just the support and the love, unconditional, and the cheering me on was incredibly valuable. I didn't think I needed it, because in previous relationships, it's like, okay, I'm just doing my thing. That's fine. And then when Nina, my wife, said, oh, can I come? It's like, what do you mean you want to come? No, you'll be bored. It's business, it's entrepreneur. So you're like, no, I just want to come and support. It's like, oh, sure, I guess. And it's like, it just felt weird. And there's a line in the song that I never knew that I was starving until I tasted you, where it just makes me think of that. It's like, I didn't know how much I needed it until I had it. I just felt like, I don't need this. And then when you have it, like, wow, I can't imagine not having it anymore. So I hope you keep your Mr. and Mrs. sign on for a very, very long time, because it has a huge impact. It sounds you have like an amazing wife as well. So that was one. And the second thing there in the same year was I met my agent and started working with him, Steve, and he's based out of New York, and he help represent Grant Cardone and Mel Robbins, and a lot of people kind of look like me, what I'm doing. And he gave me a lot of great feedback as well, and a really hard push forward. to get better and make better content and think bigger and do more. And I was always afraid to ask for help. And I still probably don't do a good enough job, if I'm being honest, asking for help. But getting help from both of those people really made a huge impact. So I couldn't tell you like the date or the time, you know, but if I look back at a magical year or magical moments, those two definitely come to mind.
Yeah, well, I can resonate. So my wife and I run our company together now, and we just released this book, The Feel Good Business Model, based on how we run our business and operate in 3 days a week, have a great team behind us. And I'm grateful for her every single day. Our business would not be where it is today if it wasn't for her. And, you know, I got to just, you know, you and your wife, the same kind of credit, you know, to have that great of a relationship from a personal perspective and have that carry over into a professional perspective. It's not for the faint of heart. There's not a lot of people that can work with their spouse. And I'm very grateful that, you know, obviously we both get to do that. And, you know, it's a very, very high accomplishing thing. It was never the intention, you know, like you, she kind of started watching what I was doing and kind of said, you know, let me take a peek behind the curtain a little bit, what you're doing there. And she was inspired by it. And then we said, you know, let's go for this thing together, because my strengths are her weaknesses and vice versa. We don't overlap. We stay in our lanes, and it works very, very well. And we're very grateful for that. So, you know, everybody chooses a different path, so to speak, when they get into business. From a social media perspective, for one, you ended up choosing the route of YouTube. And again, I don't know if you had the intention like, oh, I want to get 3 million subscribers.
I actually started on LinkedIn.
Oh, you started on LinkedIn. Okay. Yeah. Well, now you're speaking my language. So, well, first of all, what brought you to LinkedIn? And then what then allowed you to pivot and say, you know what, let me give YouTube a shot. And then obviously you found your home there. So what was that whole transition like?
Yeah. So how long you been on LinkedIn as you drink your sip of
2009, I opened my account.
And when did you start taking it seriously?
2013.
Okay, so before, after my time. But I was on LinkedIn, I don't know when LinkedIn came out, but I was on LinkedIn pretty early.
2002.
Okay, maybe not that early, but pretty early. Back in the day when it used to show you it showed you where you ranked in your country. I don't know if that was still around in 2013 or 20, whenever you were on, but you would get a rank for where you were in your country. So you would rank all time in
like a global rank in the States or Canada.
It wasn't global, it was by country. So when you signed up, you were by country. So I'm Canadian. So right. I was in the Canadian pool, and obviously you can connect with anybody in the world, but it would show you under your profile rank, whatever number in Canada. And I was in the top 500 in Canada, like most connected people on LinkedIn. So it's like a typical entrepreneur, I guess. You get competitive at it. It's like, here's this thing, LinkedIn. I was signing people up onto LinkedIn just so I can connect with them and like moving my way up. And then they got rid of that ranking. And so that defeated some of the motivation to do it. but I also wasn't getting any traction on LinkedIn. I wasn't doing anything for my business. One, I could have definitely been more intelligent in how I used it. If I knew you back then, I'm sure I'd be doing some completely different things now. But also LinkedIn has changed. It's changed a whole bunch. I mean, it was really just about jobs back in the day. And I was an entrepreneur, and so I didn't really need a job. And that's where the heavy usage was. Now it's a content play. You know, you can make content that is business, not just about jobs and the corporate world. So it's evolved over the years. But LinkedIn was my first home. Eventually, I moved to YouTube because I'm a visual learner and I like to see things. And so video, I was on YouTube in 2009. I opened my account in 2008 and posted my first video in 2009. Nobody was having success in thought leadership, education. I mean, I made a 6-minute video and people telling me it's way too long. Nobody's going to watch it, all this stuff. And at the time, they were right. But I just like video. I like a visual element. I'd much rather see something than read about it, and hearing it is the worst. So I don't listen to any podcast, zero. If they're on YouTube and it's video, I'll watch it. But if it's audio only, zero. It's so hard for me to understand and like compute. It just goes in and out quickly. So at the time, YouTube was the only video place. Now LinkedIn does video, Instagram does video, everybody does video, but YouTube is still the place for long form video. Nobody's really taking that away. And so it just seems to be at the intersection of what I love doing with how I learn best. But we have a presence in the other platforms, including LinkedIn. And I'm sure we're making lots of mistakes, and you could tear apart my account and tell me all the things I'm doing wrong.
I would only give constructive feedback to make it a positive experience. I would never chop down someone's profile.
But yeah, so LinkedIn was my first, and I moved over to YouTube because just out of learning style and then eventually building a business around it.
So you have said, I mean, you continue to say that the number one problem that you are seeking to solve is that people don't believe in themselves enough. Now, especially in the entrepreneur space, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 19. I always tell people I've been psychologically unemployable since day one. And when you have that entrepreneurial muscle, for a lot of people that have never been an entrepreneur, self-doubt, you know, not believing in yourself, a lot of the mind games really start to bubble up to the surface when you're really looking to do bigger things and really challenge yourself. Is there a reason why, with all the people you've interviewed, all the people that you've coached, and all the people that you've worked with, why you feel still that's one of the biggest hurdles that people are looking to overcome, which is truly believing in themselves?
Well, what would be a bigger problem?
I mean, I think that's really the biggest problem. I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to achieve any of the things that you want to achieve.
That's how I break it down. And so, you know, cancer is the world's biggest. Okay, well, like, cancer should have been solved by now. Cancer should have been solved, but the woman who solves cancer never believed in herself enough, and she's, you know, a manager at an accounting firm instead of having gone down the medical route. And, you know, whether I am, there's no real way, I guess, to prove it. And so whether I'm factually right or not, it just gives me, I believe that it works for me. And so it gives me a world view to operate within. I believe that all the world's problems will be solved by individuals. You know, I'm not on the board of, we need like big government to come in and the president is going to save us from whatever. Like, it's going to be entrepreneurs of the world who will solve all the world's biggest problems. I may or may not be right, but that's how I choose to see the world. And so if humans are going to solve the world's biggest problems, well, what's holding them back? It's just a lack of belief that it's possible, because resources are there, education is there, they have the time to do it. Why do people not do the things that they have in their heads and in their hearts? And usually they just don't believe that they can. And maybe someone like Scott can do it, because look at him, but I can't do that. I can't do what Scott's
doing. Who am I? The imposter syndrome and all that stuff.
Yeah. And so, like, there's the brave people who do it when nobody else has even done it before. The you know, the Roger Bannister breaking a 4-minute mile, et cetera.
My God, you just said it. It's crazy.
Right?
Yep.
Nobody has done it before. They thought your heart was going to explode. It wasn't physically possible. And then now, like, high school kids are running 4-minute miles, and the next year, and that's more people broke it. And like, because people, when you see somebody else do it, now you think you can do it too. Which is why I'm trying to, I profiled people from different backgrounds. I go on different shows to say, hey, like, if these people can do it, or if I can have some degree of success, then you can too. And I think that's the ultimate goal as people have success, is to be a role model and be able to share the story and give back as well, to be an inspiration for others. Hey, like, maybe you can give it a shot as well. So I don't have all the answers, Scott. Like, I don't know how to solve the problem. I think content at scale is the best way to do it, because you can reach people. I'm sure when you're talking to somebody one-on-one, you already instill a lot of belief in them. If you're talking to a young entrepreneur on the way up, I'm sure just hanging out with you gives them more confidence and belief, and they're off. And there's always this half-life of, like, they meet you and they got inspired, then they go back home, and the next week is like falls back down to normal. And so how do you continue to inspire people and put belief into them when you can't meet everybody every day? Well, content at scale. And so YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, I'm not, or X, I like video, so that's where I default to be, but YouTube may not be around in 20 years. Who knows? We're going to be hologramming into each other's rooms and offices and interviews in VR or whatever. And so it's evolving with the times. And similar with LinkedIn, we're starting to take it more seriously than we did in the past 5 years, because now it's become more of a platform where there is engagement and there's content and it's not just for job hunting, right? So I may or may not be right. I'm probably wrong, but I choose to believe that it's right because it gives me something to wake up and do that I feel is important every day.
And that's important right there. And, you know, I know you're 85% present, 15% future, right? Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah.
So focusing right now, what, you know, so much is changing, so much is evolving with the social landscape of LinkedIn, YouTube, everything. What's one of the biggest challenges that you and your company have really had to lean into in, say, the last year or two that's really challenged you and pushed you in a way that maybe you thought it wouldn't have?
For LinkedIn or just in general?
Just in your business in general.
I think scaling the team. So at the beginning, if you think of the journey of an entrepreneur, at the very beginning, it's about the why, because you need to motivate yourself to get up and go do your business. And you're thinking, I'm going to start a LinkedIn agency. And it's like, it's hard at the beginning because you don't have clients and nobody believes in you and you barely believe in yourself. And people might say you're crazy. And luckily you have a supportive wife, hopefully, who is kind of guiding you and, you know, giving you kudos and everything else. But when you're not making any money, you have to remember the why of what you're doing to get you going. Then it gets into the how. It's like, okay, so how, our default as entrepreneurs then becomes how do we do that? How do I solve this problem? How do I grow on LinkedIn? How do I, and at the beginning, when you're a solo entrepreneur, you're doing everything. So we default back to how. And then as you build and scale, it becomes who. So like, you can't how everything. You need a who who's going to help you do all these things for you. So it's like why to how to who. And so now I'm in a challenging spot of, we've got 44 people on the team. Wow. And I can't who everybody. Like, I can't even how the who's, because there's too many who's for me to, in a way that I normally would do, manage everybody. Well, I it's beyond my capacity. And so now we have kind of layers of who's. And so I don't believe in a 500 person organization. Like, I don't know what that looks like. So I'll try to catch myself in my own language, where on Monday is my mentoring day, where I mentored people on my team, and I caught myself making a video. It's like, yeah, so we got 40 people on my team. Wow, that's crazy. Like, but it can't be crazy. Like, if it's crazy, I don't get to 500. It's just where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what a 500 person company looks like. And that's not even a big company. Right. If we look at like big companies, I don't know how you classify it in the States, but what a small, medium sized business looks like. But that's still a small company. 500 people is still a small organization. And so I struggle with that. I don't know what that looks like, Scott. I don't know what, if you ask me how many people are on my team right now, I tell you like 10. And then my wife, Nina, who manages everything, like, yeah, but also him and her and her, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, and him and oh my God, it's just, I forget. And so I don't know how I get to 500 people. It seems like it's not possible and it feels like it's too big a goal, but it's not. Like, if you logically think about it, it's not even close to being, so many people have done it. I'm not Roger Bannister. Lots of people have done it. There's tons of paths to follow to do it. And maybe it hasn't been done in my specific niche or industry. Maybe. I don't know how many, you know, people creating YouTube content have a 500 person organization. But it's more thinking at scale and still getting out of the how mode, because I love defaulting to how, man. Even just seeing you, I'm thinking, how do I get my LinkedIn to better? What content should I make? You know what? But really, it shouldn't be, right? It's like, okay, how do you take what I'm great at and then put the right person in place to be able to do it well for us?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm still struggling with.
Who are you enamored with right now? Like, who do you see doing stuff out there that you're like, man, they are just doing Because we all have, like, we always have to have that Roger Bannister. We always have to have that person in front of us that's, like, not so much blazing a trail, but, you know, we're looking up to them like, man, they're doing a great job. I need to start not pivoting, but, like, who inspires you? I mean, outside of your wife and your family, obviously, but from a business perspective, who's your big inspiration right now?
I pull different things from different people. So I think the mistake is having just one person that you look at, because they're always going to let you down in some capacity. So, you know, like, I'll look at, in general entrepreneur land, I'll look at someone like Elon Musk and just be in awe of the bigness of thinking and just the not caring what people think about you. And I don't think that big. Like, the idea of colonizing Mars to have a backup plan for humanity, it's like, what? Like, I can't, it's just, and it's impressive. And I've learned a lot from just watching him. I don't know Elon. I haven't met him yet. But there's lots of things I...
Yet.
Was that? Yeah.
Yet.
Well, and there's lots of things that I wouldn't want to pull from him, right? So it's like, I want to be a father like my father is a father. I don't want to be a father like Elon Musk is a father. Not to say that he's a bad one, just from the things that I've seen. Like, I don't pull parenting advice from Elon Musk, but I'll pull other things from him. And so, like, there's no one per... The best person I want to be is future Evan Carmichael, you know, or potential Evan Carmichael. And so I can learn different things from different people. So from an entrepreneur perspective, just thinking big, it's classics like Elon Musk or Steve Jobs. If I look at, you know, within the content creator, people who built a personal brand, Gary's been a great role model over the years, Gary V. The idea of even having somebody in charge of the brand. So Alex Sarmozy last year or a year and a half ago hired Caleb to be his director of brand. So, like, having somebody, and that's also the model. Like, you get the right person in place, you get the right who, amazing things can happen. So we're looking at who would be the good director of brand for our company. So it's like one, you know, an Elon or a Steve is like big picture, and Alex with a director brand is a super specific tactical, like, okay, here's the next step that I can go and pull from.
Over the years of all the interviews that you've conducted and people that you've met, who surprised you the most? That, again, you mentioned all the big names, but was there someone that you interviewed or you connected with that you're like, man, this person really surprised me with their mindset or how they went about things, that kind of just really left a footprint on things with what you do?
Surprised me with their mindset. So I've had lots of guests on, big names, and they've left their marks for different reasons, but surprised me with their mindset. I would probably go with Sadhguru and Beth Hendel. And so Beth Hendel, if you don't know, she's Gary V's life coach, executive coach, and also coaches a lot of people at Vayner. And when I first heard about her, I was like, what do you mean Gary Vaynerchuk has a life coach? Like, isn't he kind of basically like the life coach for America? And so why I say those two is because those two, I needed to rewatch the interview back a whole bunch of times, because they left the mark. And I was trying to, sometimes when you do an interview, it's hard to hear what they're saying because you're thinking about where the content's going and the next question. And so those two surprised me the most with the answers, and where I had to keep going back and watching the interview multiple times. Other guests have left other marks in different ways, but to answer that question that way, those would be my two.
Awesome. Well, we're winding down. I got a couple questions left. Looking at the scope of entrepreneurship and everything that's been going on in business, there's a lot of people that feel it's never been easier to start a business right now with all the resources and the tools and the stuff that it's out there. What do you still see as the number one mistake that new entrepreneurs are making, that if they avoided it, they'd have, I don't want to say an easier path to what they want to achieve, but I would say a more sound path of what they're looking to achieve?
I think number one is you just got to get started. A lot of times people are just waiting for the perfect opportunity, the perfect training, the perfect whatever. Like, your LinkedIn profile will never be perfect. Start. Like, start making, people worried about making content, writing the perfect article, making the perfect video. It's never going to be perfect. You just got to start. and continue to iterate. And so most people just don't start. Two, I would say, make sure you have to be loving the thing that you do. The number one rule for success for successful entrepreneurs and that I've covered, which has been kind of a lot of people over the past decades, is that they love the process of what they're doing. And too many entrepreneurs jump into a business because they think it's going to make them a lot of money. And of course, you have to make money. Like, I love making money. I don't have 40 whatever people on my team because it's a charity, right? I mean, I love making money is awesome. It lets you do great things and allows you to serve on a higher scale. But you have to love the actual process. If somebody's trying to get into LinkedIn and they don't love LinkedIn, it's like you're going up against someone like Scott. You're going to lose. Like, it's guaranteed you're going to lose. So seeing you in my calendar, right? It's like, this is going to be exciting. If I saw you in my calendar, I'm like, oh, stupid interview, this stupid podcast. What am I going to even know about LinkedIn? Like, if I thought that, it's over. Like, I shouldn't be doing it. This doesn't work for me. I'm going to leave here with more energy than I came in. And so I guess technically it's like work in my calendar. But when people ask me, how many hours do you work? I was like, I don't know, what's work. It's all just life for me. This is fun. I like this. And then if I had to give a third, I would say just getting help, getting mentors, being in a community. Both of our wives had a big impact on our business, now in the business, but even just getting started and getting momentum. And it's a really lonely game. And a lot of entrepreneurs really suck at asking for help, which I, you know, admitted myself to. And so the willingness to join a group, be a part of a community, watch videos, go to events, get a mentor, just try to learn the thing, because it took me 5 years to get to 2,000 subscribers, mostly because I was too afraid to ask for help. And luckily I just kept going, but most people in 5 years of seeing very little results would quit. And so get help, get a community. It's never been easier. But I don't really focus on the macro. Maybe to wrap things up on that. There was an interesting article that just came out where they looked at the billionaire list. I don't know if you saw it, but they did a new list of billionaires from around the world and who crossed the threshold. And for the first time in a long time, nobody under 30 that was on the billionaire list was self-made. It was all inherited. So we had like the whole tech craze and all the dot-coms and all these entrepreneurs and social media making tons of money, becoming billionaires. And for whatever reason now, they're not. Like, there's nobody under 30 right now who's a billionaire in the world who made it themselves, which doesn't compute with the, it's easier than ever to get going. Now, maybe they were all in crypto and they all went bust or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe.
But
NFTs,
I also don't put too much like a case, but so what, you know, like, so what? It's never been easier or it's never been harder. Okay. And like, I'm still going to, whether it's easier, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
It's easier than it was from your grandparents to get started. So if it's in your heart and you want to go off and create, what I don't want to have happen is get to the end of my life and realize, oh man, back in 2024, I had this shot at doing something and I was too afraid.
Yeah. So what now? What? I mean, it's couldn't have said it any better than myself. And then outside of your YouTube channel, if the listeners obviously are looking to connect with you, find out more about what you're up to, books, podcast, all that stuff, where's the best place for people to find you?
Go to my LinkedIn, Evan Carmichael. Scott's probably going to look at it and rip it apart, and it's going to look at it now and then look at it in 6 months. And
well, dude, you're doing something right. You got more followers than me, so you're doing something right.
If you look at it now and it's not better in 6 months, you could blame Scott.
I'll take full ownership.
No, wherever people are, I'm probably there. You know, we got the social media, the books. But honestly, you know, people are curious about this conversation. The best thing you can do is just go look up more of your shows. Like, how many episodes deep are you on the podcast?
Close to 600.
600?
Yeah.
600? How long have you been doing this for?
5 years.
You do 100 episodes a year?
I do 2 episodes every single week.
Wow. Okay, so if this is one of your, you know, if this is one of your first times listening to Scott, he's got a ton of content to go through and watch. And that's one of my, that's honestly one of my favorite reasons going on shows too, is because it like if somebody is discovering you for the first time, this is a gateway for them to get a whole bunch of new content and ideas. Cause you asked interesting questions. You know, you asked me questions that I haven't been asked before. So it just speaks to how you think and how you process and who you pick to have on. And if people like that, if they're at the end of this episode, they like the way that you think. And so like, if you started your day every day with a different Scott video, that's going to start to seep into your mindset the way that he thinks. So thanks for having me, man. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that just made my day. Ask, having someone like you saying that there's questions that you've never been asked before, that means everything. Final question, really quick before we sign off. Evan, what does success truly mean to you?
I don't really think about definitions. I always struggle with these kinds of questions. Being able to do something that I love that is in service to others. Like, I think everybody wants to wake up and feel like what they do matters. And that for some people, like my wife, is just serving the 25 closest people to her. Like, she's the glue for our family. And for people like us, we want to impact the world. But if you woke up and every day felt like the thing you're going to do is going to mean something to somebody, and you're having an impact on somebody's life, for me, that's what I'm looking for every day. So that's what I would call success.
I love that. Well, I just want to say two things. Number one, thank you for believing in yourself, because that kept you going. And the second, thank you for everything that you do for the entrepreneurial community. It's people like you that give all of us motivation, inspiration to continue to move forward and believe in ourselves. Because again, to a lot of people, you are the Roger Bannister of personal development and leadership. And we appreciate you for setting the pace for all of us to not run behind you, not run in front of you, run right alongside to blaze trails together. So, Evan, thank you again so much for being here today.
Cool, man. And listen, when you get to 750, we'll come back for round two.
Awesome. Well,
we'll celebrate episode 750 together.
Well, I will mark that down, because it'll be here before we know it. And I hope everyone enjoyed today's episode. You know, please binge on whatever episodes you want. If you have not yet listened to any of Evan's stuff, take it all in. There's never going to be a bad thing that you listen to him. And it's going to motivate you moving forward. So leave us a rating, leave us a review, let us know what you loved, what you want to hear more of. And as always, love and gratitude. Appreciate each and every one of you. And I'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If you could, please support this podcast by hopping over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place that you're listening to this. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you loved most and what you would like to hear more of. But also, if you would like to learn how to take your business to the next level, whether it's using LinkedIn or working directly with myself and Nancy in our intimate group coaching programs, you can head over to www.thetimetogrow.com or scottaron.net to learn more. Thank you again for your support, love and gratitude, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.